This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. On this segment of the program, we're doing our regular landlord-tenant laws and issues. So if you have a question, a comment, a problem, whether you're a tenant or a landlord, I hope you will join us. I'll give our phone number in just a few minutes for those of you who are listening to us live. My guests are two of our very loyal landlord-tenant attorneys who have been incredibly generous with their time over the years. James Coy Driscoll, who represents exclusively tenants. His offices are in San Francisco. My other guest is Mark Seidenfeld, a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants. Not in the same case, I want you to know. His offices are in South San Francisco. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and by the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Board of Legal Specialization of the State Bar of California and the Family Law Section of the State Bar. Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming again.
Always a pleasure.
Very, very nice to have you here. You know, Mark, you mentioned something to me that became effective January 1st of this year regarding condo owners. And I think it's important, not that, as I can recall, we've had that many questions from people who are condo owners or condo tenants, but I think it's important to say what it is. What's the latest?
Sure. A lot of condo associations try to restrict the ability of condo owners to rent out their premises. And the state legislature passed a law that went into effect January 1st, which basically says that a condo, the purchaser of a condo unit, cannot be stopped from renting out his unit unless the prohibition on renting was in effect before the time he bought the unit.
So if before he bought the unit,
right,
there was a provision that you cannot rent your condo.
And he was informed of it.
The time he bought it.
Right.
Wouldn't he be informed about it in the CCNRs?
Well, yes.
Yeah.
It would be in the CCNRs and presumably in other disclosure documents.
Yeah.
But as we all know, sometimes purchasers of property don't necessarily read everything that's handed to them, especially when it's 2 inches thick.
So is it then something that the seller of the condo, that is, in the initial transaction that we're talking about here, the seller of the condo has to make sure verbally that the prospective purchaser knows about this? Or how does one make sure that you're going to be okay on this?
I think a verbal notice would not be sufficient.
Really?
Okay. And I think the seller would have to disclose the existence of that prohibition, just like the seller would have to make disclosure about other problems or defects, conditions with the property.
To make sure, would that be that the purchaser would have to check off, I have read that this says I cannot rent to someone, or what would you suggest?
When you buy a piece of property, any kind of property, the seller is required to disclose to you any defects with the property that he or she is aware of or reasonably should be aware of. And I would imagine this would be in that category, and those disclosures are made in writing.
I see. Okay. So there you are. If you are a condo owner or planning to be a condo owner, you really want to look at the documents very carefully.
Absolutely.
All right.
And one of the ways that could affect tenants, since that's my focus, is that owner could say to a tenant who, say, has a year lease, geez, I can't, you know, you can't continue to stay here. I didn't have authority to rent to you, and therefore the lease is void or voidable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's always something that a tenant should look out for when renting from renting a condo. The other thing is in San Francisco, where there's more than two units on a lot, and the property was first got certificate of occupancy before June 13th of 79, there's rent control. However, one of the exceptions is with a condo, there can be multiple units, but as long as the same owner doesn't own more than one unit in the building, then you still have vacancy control, but you don't have rent control. It's treated like a single-family home.
So what does that actually mean as far as, let's say, a condo owner wants to rent to a tenant?
Well, the condo owners, as we were discussing before, as Mark was saying, has to check things out and has to have certain disclosures given to her or him. However, what I'm saying is, from the tenant's point of view, if you're renting a condo, realize that there's a question as to whether the landlord is allowed to rent it. And two, don't think, oh, it's a multi-unit building, I'm covered by rent control. You very well may not.
That's very interesting. Yeah.
They need to be aware that there's been a tremendous amount of condo construction in San Francisco since rent control was introduced back in 79, and they are not covered, and a lot of people do not realize that.
Really?
In fact, any new construction after the effective day of the ordinance, which is in 79, is not covered.
What if, though, a condo owner who has whose condo is part of one of these complexes where it says you cannot rent to a tenant, but the condo owner doesn't know that and rents to the tenant, and the tenant lives in there, and at some point the condominium association finds out what's going on, communicates this to the owner of the condo. The condo owner says, gee, I made a mistake here. You're going to have to leave. What rights would the tenant have under that kind of situation, basically?
If you're talking about in San Francisco, if it's covered by the rent ordinance, my initial position would be that that's not one of the enumerated bases to evict.
Yes.
At that point, the landlord is caught between the devil and the deep blue sea because he can't get rid of the tenant or easily get rid of the tenant, yet the
condo association is saying, hey, you're breaking the CC&Rs here.
Right, and he's going to have whatever consequences those are. In the real world, what happens is he says, hey, Madam Tenant, Mr. Tenant, here's a bunch of money. Please go away. I'm serious.
But that's San Francisco.
That's not statewide.
It's not San Mateo or Marin or any other place.
All right. Okay, it's our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917. Martin, do we have all of the lawyers here, do you know? All of them are here. Oh, this is good. We have a whole bunch of lawyers here who, most of these people have been doing this for, quite some period of time, actually, most of them for years. They've been very gracious, very giving of their time, very supportive of the station, and frankly, very supportive of you. So if you have a question or a comment, and you want to talk to any one of them off the air, it's 1-800-525-9917. Let me also give you our phone number in case you have a question that you want to talk to my guests on the air. 1-415-841-4134. 1-415-841-4134. Okay. Now, usually we get quite a few calls from listeners as soon as they kind of warm up to the wrestling match that both of you have, which is actually very, very enjoyable because you both do very well in terms of talking about the law and trying to give people some direction. I guess we have the same old problems, I presume, still with landlords reluctant to return security deposits. Is that still a major problem?
Oh, yes.
Always.
What's wrong with landlords? What's going on? No, I'm serious. What is the problem here?
Problem is human nature.
I would agree with Mark.
Is it greed? Is it greed or what's going on?
Part of it is greed. Part of it is ignorance. Part of it is a sense of feeling that they've been wronged by the tenant somehow, and that the tenant, even if the tenant's moving out 2 months later, that they need to repaint the apartment and put down new carpeting. A lot of it is just nonsense.
Well, I think the other thing is, once you put money in a person's pocket, it's really hard
possession,
to pry it.
Possession is 9/10 of the law?
That's what they
said.
Is? I don't remember that in class, but
I didn't either.
So I think it's just people don't want to part with the money. And since the landlords are not required to segregate the funds and keep it in a separate account, it goes into whatever, and then all of a sudden they got to come up with $1,000, $2,000 that they don't want to part with. So they get a little creative, what I've been seeing lately is where they say the security deposit is $1,500. They claim that the work that needed to be done was $3,000. And if you try to get the $1,500 back, we'll go after you for the other $15.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But one thing to keep in mind is that Civil Code Section 1950.5, and I believe it's subparagraph L, says that if a landlord in bad faith retains a security deposit, the court may award a penalty of not more than twice the amount withheld. So using, say, the landlord withholds $1,500 in bad faith, the court can hit him with a $3,000 penalty, so the tenant would get a total of $4,500.
Well, that's outstanding.
Yes.
That's really good.
This is something that comes up all the time in small claims court.
Yes.
Tenants going after their landlords for refusing to return the security deposit.
So there is hope out there if you are a tenant and your landlord is refusing in bad faith to return your security deposit. All right, let's start with Noah. Noah, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi, thanks for taking my call, and really glad to hear that last point, because I might run into that at some point soon. But I have a situation where I have a landlord who uses their property management company, and their property management company has kind of a consistent record of sort of double dealing and kind of being shady. But recently, my jacket was stolen with my keys in it, and we have the kind of keys that can only be made by one person. It's like a security key. And that person is, you know, off and out of town. And I have to go through the property management company. And so when I went in to pay rent, I said, hey, by the way, I need a new key. My key was stolen. And they promptly had the lock changed, and then claim that I told them to do that and are trying to charge me for the changing of the lock. And I've already got a bill with them for other stuff that they're trying to charge me for that was not my responsibility. So just wondering, you know, what can I do in this situation?
Of course, Noah, isn't it the case, however, that if someone has stolen your key, and obviously if that person has some evil intent, may want to burglarize your unit, whatever it is, don't you think that the property management company is making sense in changing the locks and charging you? It wasn't the property management's problem. What do you think of that?
Well, you know, if there was a reasonable expectation that the person who stole it knows where I live, then that may be one.
Well, where was your jacket that was stolen?
I was in a bar.
No, okay.
You sure you didn't lose your iPhone?
The lesson is don't go to a bar anymore. Okay, let me get, okay, good point. All right, let me get some comments from you.
Okay.
And go ahead. We're going to start taking on, put your radio back up, will you, Noah? This is a good question, and we've got the facts now.
Sure.
Yeah.
One of the things, Noah didn't have a chance to answer this, which is how much was the, you know, are they billing him? Are they billing him $25, $35?
Oh, no.
If it is,
no way.
If it
no
is,
way.
Pay it. If
no.
We're talking $300, yeah, then you have a problem.
I bet it's closer than that. Maybe Noah can call back and tell us how much actually they're trying
to
get.
Am I still on the air? I think
yes.
How much?
I think it's about $350.
Yeah, okay. That's what I figured. All right, take the balance on the air. Turn your radio back up, will you?
What I would do if I were representing a client at Noah's position is I would send a letter to the landlord saying, no, I did not ask you to do this. I did not authorize you to do this.
Yeah.
I simply asked for another key.
Yeah.
And then, you know, let them deal with it in small claims.
And that would be a few bucks. That would be a few bucks for another key.
Yes.
Because presumably the property management company has a... No, oh, wait a minute. Mark's looking at me now. Chuck, you're going too far. Go ahead, Mark.
Here we go.
Yeah.
My first disagreement of the evening.
Oh, no.
It seems to me that this is a tough one for a landlord. As a matter of common sense, it seems to me the lock ought to be changed regardless of anything else, given that the key is missing, whether they know where Noah lives or not. Who knows? Maybe the jacket was stolen by somebody that he knew. The bottom line is, if the place is burglarized, Noah could come back and say to the landlord, why didn't you change the lock?
Well, that's a good point.
So it seems to
good
me
point.
It is reasonable for
good
them
point.
To do that.
Good point.
Well, and even if Mark's position is correct, which I don't yield on, but I think $350 to change a lock might be a little much.
Yeah, I can't tell you what it costs to change a lock, but the idea that they did it seems to me the wise thing to do.
You know, one of the things that, if I may suggest this from my consumer standpoint, is maybe what NOAA might do in light of this is call some different lock companies and find out, what do you charge to change a lock? Yeah. Do a little survey, and if you find out that it's 100, 150, maybe 200 bucks, submit that to the property management company and say, I'm only willing to pay. I did this survey, and this is what I found, and I'm only willing to pay this. See what happens. Okay? All right. NOAA, if you were in San Mateo County, what I would do, and you filed a complaint with my office, I would refer this to our county mediation program, frankly, and see how this might be able to be worked out. I don't know where you are, but in any event, if you were, that's what I do. Okay. Let me mention to you that you're all, I don't know if you're all sleepy tonight, or I don't think there's anything special on tonight, is there? I don't know that. The people are really quiet. I don't know what's going on. Is Steve still there? Are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, go ahead. You're on the air. Welcome to your legal rights.
Thank you.
Sure.
I live in San Francisco in a condo, and as everyone knows, the condo market in San Francisco and elsewhere is pretty distressed, and I was planning on selling and moving out to the suburbs where, you know, I wanted to take advantage of neighborhood-based schools, et cetera. But given the market, I'm not going to be able to sell. I'm just going to have to rent my apartment out. And I guess I've always been a tenant my whole life, never really had enough money to own property. Now I do, and I do have to move out. And I just don't, having heard horror stories about San Francisco's rules, which are very tenant protective, I'm just not, as a total novice at this. And first of all, I'm not aware of any resources. And B, the main thing I guess I'm concerned about is if I sign a one-year lease or a two-year lease or whatever period lease, will the person be required to move out at the end of it, or can they sort of claim an indefinite stay in my apartment, which, of course, I may or may not be able to afford and may not be in the cards for me.
Hmm, that's very interesting.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask,
please.
Is the condo rent controlled?
Well, it's all owner occupied. It's got 12 units, 12 residential units.
When was it built?
I believe in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not covered by rent control, and
it is not. Okay,
it is not, and you should not have a problem in terms of that. If you're, in other words, generally speaking, in a rent-controlled unit in San Francisco, a tenant has a lifetime tenancy, regardless of what the rental agreement actually says. That will not be the case with yours. I'm sorry?
Sir, I heard there was something like you had to have good cause for eviction or something like that. I'm operating with half information, obviously.
Sure. That's true under the rent ordinance, but you're not covered by the rent ordinance, so you're not going to have that issue. What you do need to do, though, is educate yourself as a landlord, and there are all sorts of resources available to you, the best of which is the San Francisco Apartment Owners Association. They have all sorts of guides, classes, documents, including wonderful leases written specifically for San Francisco. NOLO Press has material. And believe it or not, even the San Francisco Rent Board has material for landlords.
Okay.
The other thing that I would suggest is, you may not think of it this way, but you're going into business. And one of the things you might want to do, and in fact, you were in rent control territory, I'd definitely say this, but you might want to consider spending whatever it costs to sit down for an hour with a San Francisco landlord's attorney, somebody who practices landlord-tenant law from the landlord side in San Francisco, because it's different here than it is in San Mateo or Marin or Detroit. It's a whole nother ball of wax here, and I think it may be the best money you spend this year.
Steve, thank you very much for calling. Good luck to you.
One more follow-up there?
Hold on just a minute.
Okay.
All right, this is our Call a Lawyer night. I want to give you the Call a Lawyer number, 1-800-525-9917. If you have questions in tax law, real estate, small claims court, landlord-tenant law, employment law, legal malpractice law, family law, criminal law, workers' compensation law, I'll let you know who the attorneys are who are here, who are so gracious with their time. Again, 1-800-525-9917. If you're being hounded by creditors, tomorrow Leon Baer will be available, and I'll give you that phone number in just a few minutes. He'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, between 8 and noon, and you can call him. No obligation on the part of you whatsoever for any, whether you talk to someone tonight for Call a Lawyer or you call Leon Baer. It's just a great service. Also, if you want to talk to my guests, it's 1-415-841-4134. This is Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney. We're doing landlord-tenant laws and issues. My guests are Mark Seidenfeld and James Coy Driscoll, both very experienced, very loyal, very supportive landlord-tenant attorneys who've been just great to the listeners in actually being involved in this program for several years now, each of them. Steve, you had another question, did you? Are you still there, Steve? Hello? Did we lose him? I guess we lost Steve. I don't know what happened. He had another question, and I guess he just went off. All right. Christine, are you there?
I am.
Hi. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I have a question about a situation I am not currently in. At my last apartment, I had a neighbor who had a companion animal. And
I'm sorry. Had what kind of an animal?
A companion animal?
Do you mean the kind of companion animal that is something that a doctor has recommended? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
And he would let the dog do its business outside in the common area.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, my apartment was behind the house. So this guy would let his dog out the house, and it would go to the bathroom out there, and then I would basically have to walk through it.
And do you mean this guy would not pick up his animal's
for
waste?
Days.
No, he would
yes.
not. Well, that
for
was
days.
A great guy. You know, he was really
yeah.
something. Go ahead.
And so, you know, eventually I complained to the landlord, and for about 6 to 9 months, I dealt with this situation before I finally moved out. And the landlord kept telling me that due to legal reasons, it was, you know, really hard to do anything about the situation. So I was just wondering, what are the legalities?
Well, that's a very good point. And in the back area there, what was that? That was a little garden area, was that it?
It was concrete.
It was concrete. So he would let his dog poo on the concrete, and he would not pick it up. And
correct.
how long ago was this, roughly?
Oh, gosh. This is about 8 or 9 months ago, I suppose.
Well, you would think that people at this point, modernly, would have enough sense and enough courtesy that they wouldn't do that. What comments do you have, Coy, please?
Of course, the landlord has a legal duty to not permit his property, including the common area, to be used to interfere with other people's rights. And furthermore, the landlord has a duty to keep the common area clean. If what's happening is it's not clean because this tenant's doing something, then he's got beef with the tenant, but your beef is with the landlord. The other thing that jumped out at me, you said garden apartment. Oftentimes these garden apartments, garage apartments, etc., are illegal units.
Mm.
One thing you might want to do is Google the San Francisco Department of Building Inspection and follow the links to see how many units are permitted on that property. Because if that garden apartment is not a legal residence, we start the premise that the lease was illegal and you get all your money back.
Mm. That's very interesting. Now, Mark, wait a minute. Not another
Mark's
disagreement.
Mark's hyperventilating.
Not another disagreement. Okay,
needless
go ahead.
Needless to say, I would disagree with that.
Right.
It seems to me that what Coy said is correct in the sense that the landlord has an obligation to keep the premises clean and habitable. And your beef would be with the landlord, not with the other tenant. Mm-hmm. However, it seems to me the landlord would have grounds to evict that other tenant if he was creating a nuisance. And it certainly seems to me that would be a nuisance.
Yeah.
And that would have been the landlord's remedy.
How about that?
I mentioned in a letter to the landlord that, you know, I know this is your the landlord, your responsibility to keep the common areas clean. And they told me that, you know, they were trying everything that they could do to get this guy to clean up after his dog.
And where was this? What city was this in?
San Francisco.
It was San Francisco.
They weren't doing everything they could have because they could have evicted that tenant.
So you moved out because you found it just at some point you just couldn't handle it anymore. Is that right?
It was really bad, yeah.
Well, let me take the balance on by turning your radio back up, if you would, Christine, because I want to pose a question to a couple of my guests here, actually both guests. So okay. Thank you very much for calling. At this point, she moved out just a few months ago. At this point, would there be any basis for her considering filing some kind of a small claims action against the landlord because she left because... of the landlord wouldn't do anything about this, and she found it really to be obnoxious and destroyed her, the habitability or whatever we want to call it?
I'd call it quiet enjoyment.
Quiet enjoyment, yeah.
What I think the problem in the real world is, one, the amount of damages she's going to get for that. Mm-hmm. The real place where she would have damages is if she had been in the apartment, say, 5, 10, 15 years, and she had to move to some place that was a lot more expensive.
Yes.
Then there'd be some serious damages.
I see.
But again, I would have her look into see if that was a legal unit or not.
Yeah.
I would just add a sharp lawyer might also consider a constructive eviction action.
Exactly.
That should be a much bigger case than a small claims case.
That's what I'm thinking,
And
too.
That's where a tenant basically is forced to move out because of the landlord's act or inaction, which prevents the place from being habitable.
I agree. And the question is, what are your damages? And,
yeah.
And it's most, unless she had to move to a more expensive place, I think I won't say they're de minimis, but they're not huge.
Yeah,
would you suggest at this point that it might be worthwhile for Christine, for example, to contact Lawyer Referral for San Francisco and try to get an appointment with an attorney who represents tenants in the landlord-tenant area? Or, Mark, you're kind of shaking your head. No, I don't think so.
Well, my attitude is she's moved out. The situation is over. Move on.
What about you?
Well, boy? If she doesn't mind spending $30 and a half hour of her time, it might be worth it to have somebody talk to her and where she can answer those questions.
Yeah.
Did she have to move? What were her moving expenses?
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Because whether she goes into small claims court or if she goes into, regular court, she's going to have to figure out what her damages are first to decide if it's worth it.
So, Christine, what I'm going to do in a couple of minutes, I will give the lawyer referral number for the San Francisco Lawyer Referral Service, so you might want to jot it down and consider contacting them and have a half an hour consultation with an attorney who represents tenants in landlord-tenant cases. All right, it is actually just about 7:28 and a half at 91.7, your local public radio station, KLW in San Francisco. This is Your Legal Rights. It's also our Call a Lawyer night. Let me tell you who's here, and these people are, most of them have done this multiple times, some over the years, several years, very gracious with their time. They're very supportive of this station and very giving of their time to you should you have a question. And what they get out of this, frankly, is I think the enjoyment of getting together here at the station and actually trying to help you. I have pizza brought in, but that's not enough to compensate them for their time when they might be doing something that might be relaxing for them other than taking questions. But in any event, who's here? We've got Alice O'Sullivan, Workers' Compensation Law, former chair of the Board of Legal Specialization. Jeff Hayden, certified specialist in criminal law. Janet Frankel, certified specialist in family law. Peter Fortune, certified specialist in legal malpractice law. Susan Bluer, who is an employment law attorney. Andrew Wesley, a landlord-tenant attorney. Kara Weissman. Kara is back, and we'll talk with you about small claims court if you'd like to talk with Kara. Frank Adam, who does tax law, real estate, and then tomorrow, Thursday, January 26th, Leon Baer, a certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will be available for you to talk with from 8 a.m. to noon. You might want to jot down his number, 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. If you call and you just get his answering machine, leave your name and number, and Leon will call you back. Our general call a lawyer number for this evening is 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. I just want to take a moment of your time at this point. The station is doing an opportunity campaign. It's a little bit early, but the reason is because last year KALW had to ask the school board to approve a line of credit to cover the station's expenses. Fortunately, because of those of you who are loyal, pledging listeners to KALW, the station is doing much better. It was able to, by the way, pay off the line of credit, and things are much better. However, with the opportunity campaign, KALW is hoping to raise $100,000 in order to stabilize its finances and increase its financial reserves. So if you are so inclined to want to support the station, which I hope you will, please, you can call this evening on that magic number, 1-800-525-9917, and our call lawyer lawyers will take your pledge. If you don't feel comfortable in doing that but have a question for them, please call and ask your question. And I hope that you will continue to support the station and that you feel that the call a lawyer function that we've had once a month in this program has helped you and that you would like to support the station. Okay. My guests are Coy Driscoll, James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants. His offices are in San Francisco. My other guest is Mark Seidenfeld, a real estate attorney who represents landlords and tenants. His offices are in South San Francisco. Our number here is 1-415-841-4134. And let me see. Oh, Steve, do we have Steve? I want to have that Steve follow up. If we can get Steve on the line, can we do that? Steve, are you there? Steve, are you there, Steve?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. What was your follow-up question?
Okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for allowing me to get on.
Sure.
I was the guy with a condo who was considering renting it out. And
Right.
Some resources.
Yeah.
This is less of a legal question, more of a question of, sort of getting a sense of the market, really. I was wondering if it's worth it for somebody like me, a single apartment owner, to even hire property management companies to sort of do it. And if I do that, does that mean that I can sort of, rely on the property management company to have its own lawyers to deal with any legal issues that come up with the tenant in terms of maintenance or whatever, maintenance of any areas or anything like that?
By that you mean that the management company would pay for the lawyer's time as opposed to you?
No, what I mean is if some issue comes up with a tenant, in terms of, say, the tenant disputes whether the apartment's been maintained properly or there's some damage or something, and there's some issue with the security deposit, like you were saying, is that the kind of thing that the property management company would fully take care of for me when I hire them? Or is that something that I have to still fight on my own and sort of deal with on my own when the person leaves?
That's a very interesting comment. Mark, you represent landlords. What do you say to that?
Generally speaking, for one unit, it simply isn't worth hiring a property manager unless you're going to be living far away, if you're moving to New York or Los Angeles or something. Property management firms do handle things like day-to-day maintenance and collecting the rent, and if there was a legal problem that came up, they would be able to refer you to an attorney, but you'd be paying at least 10% of the rent as their fee. Mm-hmm. And given that it's only one unit, as long as you're staying in the Bay Area, it simply doesn't make sense financially.
Good luck to you, Steve.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Take care. 1-415-841-4134. Stan, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Hi there, longtime contributor and proud member of KALW.
Great, thank you.
Great program, you guys. Hey, I joked that my dad ought to get a coupon for his small claims court, where if he brings in 9 cases, he gets the 10th one for free. So I have 2 quick points. One is, you guys were talking about treble damages for against a landlord, and I brought a case down in L.A., and I won the treble damages, and, of course, that was kicked back when they appealed it,
mm-hmm.
and a guy told me that, yeah, it's in the law, but he has never, ever seen somebody win and hold on to the treble damages.
Mm.
So it's kind of a stick to use against the landlord if threatening them, but in practicality, nobody really gets it. And then also, on the topic of practicality, I would hope that your guest could give us some good tips. And this modern era where everybody's got their iPhone, it's not getting stolen at a bar, is to take pictures when they both move in and move out of their apartments, and that can help a lot, and to keep any of their receipts. If they have a cleaning service that comes at the end to clean up, and what is meant by the term of art, room clean?
We got to respond to some of the questions,
right?
Because you're going to keep going with more questions. Okay, all right, very good, Stan. Thank you very much. How about it? What about treble? His point that the court isn't going to give treble damages.
Well, I think one does not make a fair survey. And it's one of the few things I remember from statistics, that and how to find an average. But other than that, I don't really... The trouble with small claims and the trouble with landlord-tenant is there's not a lot that goes on that's reported. You don't go up to the Court of Appeal. You don't go to the California Supreme Court. So what you have more is apocryphal stories like Stan's. And, who knows? Sometimes they will, sometimes they won't. I think Mark's got something for us there.
Stan, I serve as a judge pro tem in small claims, and I do small claims appeals. And I have to tell you, I have upheld a verdict that gave three times the damages because it was richly deserved in that case. It does happen.
Jeff, I'm getting all choked up. Jeff, welcome to your legal rights.
Oh, good evening. Hello, this is Jeff. Anyway, I had a comment about the locks. Hello?
You're here. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, I manage an apartment building in San Francisco with 43 units. And what we do is, what I do is somebody loses their key when they're out of the building, is that I have the lock rekeyed so that it's a lot cheaper and it's the equivalent. And since I can do it myself, I don't charge them any money for it. But it's also when somebody moves out, the thing is that we use locks that can be rekeyed. So
what would the charge be?
Tenant money and saves us money.
What would the charge be on that, Jeff?
I don't charge them anything if if a key has been stolen or fallen out by accident. I wouldn't charge them anything because I don't know if I should mention the name of the brand, but we use the kind of key that can be literally changed in less than a minute. A kind of lock that can be rekeyed in less than a minute.
Is it easier to be burglarized with something like that?
Oh, no. Once it's been rekeyed,
what's the brand?
The old key will get you nowhere. And if you don't have the old key and the special tool, you can't rekey.
What's the brand, Jeff?
It's called Quickset Smart Key.
Yeah, I've heard of it. Yeah.
So I'm just throwing that out there for other people that may be.
That's very good.
Buildings.
I don't know what's wrong with your phone. You need to change your phone, though, Jeff.
Well,
the keys may be great, but your phone's not so good.
Buy a new phone. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate you doing that.
If I may, I'd like to follow up on that. One thing that I believe state law requires is when a new tenant is moving in, the locks must be changed.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times landlords, especially small-time landlords, right, don't know that or don't bother.
So that is the state law.
Yes.
The lock must be changed.
Right, whether you're rekeying it or changing it.
Very good point.
That the old key doesn't work anymore.
Certainly makes sense. All right, 1-415-841-4134. Please be patient. All of the lines are blinking right now. For our Call a Lawyer, it's 1-800-525-9917, 1-800-525-9917. Pardon me for my having whatever it was that was going on with my throat. I don't know what it was, but I think I'm back now.
It was all the emotion in it.
I was getting so emotional about this. Landlord-tenant law does this to me. Steve, welcome to your legal rights. No, that's not Steve. Pardon me. Andy, welcome to your legal rights.
Thank you. my question is that on a return, a deposit return, he ended up keeping all of my deposit and charging me, you know, 100 plus more. But he sent the notice to me like 45 days after I moved out. And then when I asked him for an itemization, he never itemized, sent me something, you know, he hadn't sent me anything before. He sent me that, but he didn't itemize it properly. Now, you know, personally, I would prefer to have that money. The one thing about my case is that he said he was charging me for things that weren't normal and ordinary wear and tear. For instance, I had a wood floor in my room, and part of the finish started coming off. He claimed that he had to completely refinish the floor. I had lived there 3+ years, and I didn't do anything out of the ordinary there, but I agree the floor finish did get, you know, was getting, shall we say, you know, somewhat rubbed off.
What city did you live in?
This was in Sacramento.
Okay. What I would do is, Nolo Press has a great book on landlord-tenant law, and they also have a great book on California Small Claims Court. And I would take a look at the one on California Small Claims Court, do what it tells you, and when you demand however much money you demand, don't forget to, you know, times that by 3, because the court can't give you more than you ask for,
mm-hmm.
and just see how well his documentation holds up. My position would be by not giving you proper documentation and by giving you late notice, he's waived his right to keep the money. Now, mm-hmm. It doesn't expressly say that in the law, but if it, yeah, my argument would be that if that isn't what it means nothing. So.
This is going to be shocking to you, Coy, but I agree with you 100%.
You're right. It is shocking.
But, Andy, where do you live now?
Now I'm in Marin County, but my question is this. Is it a 2-year limit to be able to file, or how long? What's the time frame?
Did you have a written lease?
Yes and no. I did not have a written lease, but right before I was moving out, I ended up getting a month-to-month lease because I needed to go get a post office box.
Hmm.
I mean, kind of weird, but I needed to have another source of things. So, no, I did not have a written lease, but...
Generally, the rule is for an oral contract, it's 2 years. For a written contract, it's 4 years. And these run from the breach. So
okay, that answers my question. Now,
okay,
I appreciate that. And one more, Mark, you agree with that? So when I was reading the books, I got the response that even when they're late, they have an opportunity to respond to it when you take them to small claims court.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they have a right to respond. The problem is the guy's got no defense.
Yeah.
The law is quite clear. He has to get to you in 21 days after the day you vacate. He didn't do it. He's also required by law to provide an itemization. He didn't do it.
Okay.
But you would have to file your small claims action up in Sacramento County, Andy. Yeah.
Right, I understand that. Thank
okay,
you.
Well, very good. Very good. Thank you very much for calling.
I appreciate your offer. Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much for calling. Our number here for Call a Lawyer is 1-800-525-9917. For the radio program on the air, 1-415-841-4134. If you have a legal problem, you may need to talk to a lawyer. The Bar Association of San Francisco's Lawyer Referral Service can arrange an appointment for you to meet with an attorney experienced in the area of law related to your situation. This is a public service of the Bar Association of San Francisco. For a referral to a lawyer, call 415-989-1616. That's 415-989-1616. This information is brought to you by the Bar Association of San Francisco and KALW listeners like you. If you're in San Mateo County, the San Mateo County Bar Association also has a lawyer referral service. That number is 650-369-4149, 650-369-4149. If you're in any other county in California, every county has a bar association and lawyer referral service. You can call your own during normal business hours. They'll do their best, pardon me, to find a qualified attorney to sit down with you for half an hour and discuss your problem. And you'll pay, depending on the county, you'll pay anywhere from $25 to maybe $35 for the half an hour. It's a great way to at least get some basic information. And as Coy has said, Nolo Press has a very good book on landlord-tenant law. It's just outstanding. And if you are a tenant or you are a landlord, frankly, I highly recommend it. All right. We've got David. Welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Yes. Hi. I own an apartment building in San Francisco, and I want to rent out to a person who has a Section 8 voucher from HUD. Will my legal relationship be significantly different, or are there significant differences between this type of tenant, the Section 8 tenant, and just the regular type of tenant that I should know about? Hello?
Yeah, oh, no, I'm sorry. We're listening to you.
I'm sorry. I figured Mark would take point. But, you know, what Mark and I generally agree on is when you're renting your apartment or a house or a room, you're in business. Now, you say you own an apartment building. You are definitely in business. And if it's in San Francisco and it's an older building, it's going to be subject to the rent ordinance. I'll be blunt. You're absolutely crazy not to have a landlord's attorney.
Excuse me?
I said you're absolutely crazy not to have a landlord's attorney. I'm a tenant's attorney. I'm saying right. You need professional help.
Let me try to respond. In my opinion, Section 8 is great for landlords because they're guaranteed to get the majority of their rent, and they're guaranteed to get it on time.
Okay.
Having said that, it is a major hassle for landlords. They will come and inspect that apartment at least once a year. If the tenant's income changes, the amount that they will pay may go up or down depending on which way the tenant's earnings go. It can be difficult to collect that money from the tenant because, how shall I say this? Section 8 tenants, I'm painting with a very broad brush, pardon me, are not necessarily people who hold steady jobs.
I do hear this, but this person's credit is excellent. Mm. Their references are excellent.
Have you run a credit report?
Yeah. Okay. FICO. Everything is excellent.
Okay.
I mean, it's just, so what I want to know is that if things do go south, okay, is it treated similarly as a tenant without Section 8?
Yes. Yeah, if they're covered by rent control, it's the same as it would be whether they're Section 8 or not.
Okay, so in other words, there's nothing significantly different between a Section 8 tenant and a regular tenant. Is that correct?
The notice period may be different. I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on Section 8, but one thing you may want to think about, if this person is otherwise qualified and you say, I don't want to rent to him or her because they have Section 8, you may be in violation of a San Francisco ordinance that says you cannot discriminate based on source of income or source of the ability to pay the rent.
Yeah. You better do, David, I think what both of my guests are urging you, since you own this building, this apartment building, I take it you do not have an attorney, you have not sought legal advice, is that right?
Right, because this is the first time I'm doing this.
Okay, well then, being the three of us, my two guests and myself really feel you are in the business of renting units, and you really do need to put out some money to get some good legal advice. So good luck to you.
Okay, then.
Yeah, take care.
Well, thank you.
All right, you're very welcome. Let me again mention who our Call a Lawyer lawyers are, because they are very supportive of this, and also the campaign that KLW is doing now to raise $100,000 in this next week or so. Alice O'Sullivan, Workers' Comp, Jeff Hayden, Criminal Law, Janet Frankel, Family Law, Peter Fortune, Legal Malpractice Law, Susan Bluer, Employment Law, Andrew Wesley, Landlord-Tenant Law, Cara Weissman, Small Claims Court, and Frank Adam, Tax Law, Real Estate. If you'd like to speak to any one of them, it's 1-800-525-9917. And tomorrow, Leon Baer, certified specialist in bankruptcy law, will talk with you. No obligation on your part whatsoever. He'll talk with you about your rights with respect to creditors and possible bankruptcy. His number is 1-800-477-4255. 1-800-477-3111. 1-800-477-3111. He'll be available tomorrow, Thursday, from 8 a.m. to noon. All right, Peter, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
This is kind of an odd question. I have a legal plan that's a benefit from work. And I had a landlord issue. I made contact through this legal plan. I'm not going to mention any names.
Okay.
And what I found was that I can only come to the conclusion that they're, like, tenant unfriendly. They had a menu that you could navigate, and when I described the problem, that there were, like, three or four different categories they threw it into. But there was no tenant rights section. In other words, I could have found a better attorney or better legal advice just looking in the phone book.
So
the Yellow Pages was better organized.
But when you say, Peter, a legal plan, were you doing this accessing the Internet so that you were finding out?
Well, it's a benefit I have at work.
I understand that.
Okay.
But you were not talking to a human being?
I was talking to a
human
being.
Oh, you were? Okay.
I made the initial contact online, then after that I spoke with representatives, and then they sent me to three different attorneys.
Really? Interesting.
Well, they would pick up the phone. I would describe the problem. They would say, "Well, I don't know why they sent you to us.
Oh.
We really deal with consumer affairs."
Yeah.
They didn't have a landlord-tenant.
Oh, that's very interesting. That's very strange. Let me get Mark to respond.
I'm almost feeling like I had a very, very pro-landlord organization, and their values filtered down.
Let me get Mark to respond to you, Peter. Don't go
Peter,
away.
Peter, landlord-tenant law is a very highly specialized area. Most attorneys don't know anything about it and don't want to know anything about it. Your best bet is to contact your local bar association and ask for their lawyer referral service. And in San Francisco, they will refer you to lots and lots of tenant attorneys who do nothing except represent tenants. Yeah.
And the other thing is that outside of rent-controlled jurisdictions, locally like San Francisco, Berkeley, Oakland...
I'm in Oakland.
It's very difficult for a landlord... for a tenant's attorney to make enough to stay alive. So if this is, I imagine, not just an Oakland organization, but perhaps a national organization, they may not have that focus of that's a niche that, they feel they need to fill.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Peter, very much for calling. And by the way, one of the things that I forgot to mention to you regarding KOW's opportunity campaign is that you can go and pledge on the website, www.kalw.org. All right, Pat, welcome to Your Legal Rights.
Thank you.
Hi.
I live in San Francisco, and I've been in this apartment complex a long time, and it was very quiet. And in the last year, there's a generator going all night.
They did that intentionally,
Pat,
because of you, of course.
Possibly. So... the thing is, I've called them, and they came over and heard some noise, but I have acute hearing, and in the middle of the night, it gets this high pitch. Anyway, so the only way I can sleep is with music going all night.
Incredible.
So I wanted to file something, but there are issues bigger than my personal scene, and I'm afraid if I do with the rent board that they'll ramp it up. And
They'll do what? Wait a minute.
That they could... ramp up the noise.
You mean make it even louder?
Because they'd like to get rid of me. They would. And if I wait and I don't report it for some, it'll be a year in May. And if I wait too long and report it, then the rent board will say, well, why didn't you do it? So I don't quite
know. So what is this generator for? Do you know, Pat?
I can hear it. I sort of know where it's coming from, but I can't pinpoint it.
You think it's a building generator as opposed to one of the other tenants?
It's a building generator, probably an air conditioning unit or something.
I see. And you believe this is covered by the rent ordinance, is that right?
Yes, that it shouldn't go all night long.
Okay, well, that makes sense. What comments do you have?
Well, first of all, I find it hard to believe that the landlord would intentionally install a noisy piece of equipment just to harass you.
No, I think it's old and it's breaking down. It's not personal harassment.
Yeah.
All right, what I would do would be to notify them in writing and say to them, if it isn't repaired within so many days, I'm going to the rent board, and then go to the rent board.
Yeah.
They will help you.
Yeah.
And you know, I know threatening to go to, say, DBI or the police can be extortion. I'm not quite sure whether threatening to go to the rent board would fall into that.
I don't think so, no.
Not at all.
No.
Worry is my hearing's so acute, and they may not hear it, and then, you know, they'll say, well, you're crazy or something.
Well, you know, you could always have somebody come out and do sound tests.
Right.
And do sound levels.
Right.
What about the building department of San Francisco?
Right.
Would that be good to ask them to come out?
Oh, absolutely. I'd have, especially if you think it's something that's defective.
Yeah.
I'm speaking to your concern that they might not realize how bad it is.
Have you tried the building department, Pat?
They won't come because the guy said we have this problem all the time and musicians are the worst because, you know, I've called 5 departments.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
That's not good. What else would you suggest to her? Perhaps are there private companies that could come out?
There's
about $3,000.
Oh.
I have a cheaper suggestion.
What is that?
Earplugs.
They don't work.
Oh, my.
I've tried everything.
My.
And as I said, I'm in a position, I think this isn't personal harassment, but if they knew, they would ramp it up.
Well,
can you record this, Pat? Can you record it on a recording machine? And so if you wanted to go to the rent board, you could, you know, in making a complaint, you would have this to demonstrate to the rent board?
Right. I tried a small camera, and it didn't pick it up.
Mm.
And I tried a sound meter on an iPhone. I wasn't sure about that.
So. You know, one other resource is you could go to small claims court and claim that the value of your tenancy is being reduced by X, you know, whatever dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell you, you better have witnesses who are there when it's annoying you.
Yeah.
So that means you're going to have a friend come over at 2 a.m. and hear it.
When does this thing go on?
It started last May.
No. What time of the day does it go on?
Well, sort of on and off, but it goes, I don't know, 3 o'clock in the morning for it, but it's kind of on and off all day.
Okay, well.
But it's a high pitch. Probably a lot of people cannot hear it, you know?
What a shame.
Mm-hmm.
What a shame.
Oh, yes.
Is there not a noise ordinance?
There is a noise ordinance in San Francisco, but it's the same problems that Coy was talking about.
Yeah.
There has to be proof.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to present that proof either to the rent board or to a small claims judge.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hang in there, Pat. Maybe there is something you can do.
Could you just say one last thing? If I wait too long and don't report it, then the rent board will say, well, why didn't you report this 2 years ago?
Well, there's nothing to be gained by waiting.
Yeah.
You need to, you know, if you're going to act.
Go to it.
I agree.
Go to it, Pat. Don't just let it happen.
Okay.
Yeah, good luck. And at some point when we do the next landlord-tenant program, if you have done anything about this by filing a complaint with the rent board, I'd like you to call us back and let us know what happened. Would you do that? I guess she hung up. All right, I hope you heard this. I hope you heard this, Pat. By the way, I think we are just about done with the program, unfortunately. I thank you both very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
It's been great to
always
have you.
Always fun to be here.
Well, it's very fun to have you here. James Coy Driscoll, who represents tenants' offices in San Francisco. Mark Seidenfeld, real estate attorney, who represents landlords and tenants' offices in South San Francisco. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really nice to have you here. And of course, we're ending our Call a Lawyer night, 1-800-525-9917. I hope you had a chance to talk with our attorneys off the air. Your Legal Rights program engineer is Joanne Marr. Production assistant Martin McLean. Funding for Your Legal Rights is made possible by the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco and the San Mateo County Bar Association. Additional funding is provided by the Trust and Estate Section of the State Bar, the Labor and Employment Law Section of the State Bar, the Lawyer Referral Service of the Bar Association of San Francisco, which I said, and the California Applicants Attorneys Association. By the way, if you are a worker and are having a problem at work, you feel you're not being treated properly, fairly, maybe not getting a promotion, maybe being docked for something. We're going to do employment law next week. My guests will be employment law attorneys Nina Fendel and Miles Locker and Equal Employment Opportunity Commission investigator Malcolm Longway. Pardon me. So join us then. Thank you very much for joining us on Your Legal Rights. I'm Chuck Finney.